Hello and welcome to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Holver, a digital nomad, world traveler, dreamer, and lover of life. Currently, I'm a social media marketer, a freelancer, and I'm totally obsessed with inspiring other women to dream bigger and live bolder. Each week, I'll be featuring women who have successfully created location-independent lifestyles that give them the freedom to live life on their own terms, and how you can do the same. My goal is to show you that your dreams are possible and how much opportunity you have to not only create an income online, but also to make a real difference. So, if you're ready to start living a life that excites you by learning from others who have already done it, then you're in the right place. Are you ready? Let's go. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. Welcome back this week. I am really happy that you're listening to this episode because the girl I had on is really, really cool. And it was so much fun to just even play it back and edit it and listen and everything. I just felt like we were kindred spirits. So Natalie, I know you're listening to this. So thanks for coming on. So here's the guest I have on the show today. Natalie Lane is a small-town U.S. girl from the Midwest, what's up, turned globetrotting digital nomad with a personal manifesto for a purpose-filled life of passion. She packed her life up into a few suitcases 3 years ago with a one-way ticket to South Korea. I love it when I hear people buy one-way tickets. It's so exciting. In search of more adventure, new cultures, and personal growth. She's been living and traveling through Southeast Asia ever since while building her online business, which is now focused on public relations for podcasters. If she's not loitering at a coffee shop, behind her laptop, or with a good book, you can find her doing yoga or meditation, attending a personal development workshop, or talking to strangers on the street. And she says that's the most likely. She's hilarious. So basically, she's a virtual assistant. She does brand management. She's a PR for a podcast gal, and she's overall an awesome human being. So without further ado, here we go.
We met, I know we met like recently through Facebook, I think it was, right? And yeah, I am super excited to have you on after hearing that you've been a digital nomad for 2 years. I think that's really cool. And I was telling you this earlier, but I think that's been the longest out of the other guests that I've talked to. Some have been entrepreneurs for longer than that, but I feel like as far as being an actual, like, quote unquote, digital nomad and working and traveling overseas, I think 2 years, even though it's not that long, it's probably one of the longer times that someone has had that I've had on here on the show. So I'm just excited to hear more about your journey. So thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I feel we resonate so much being from the Midwest. So I'm excited for this conversation also.
I know, totally. I know. I feel like we already like, I don't know. I just feel like we already like vibe well. Like we have similar personalities or maybe, I don't know, just something that resonates. Maybe it's because we're both from the Midwest. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you. It's something.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so if you just want to go ahead and dive right in, tell everyone about who you are, where you came from, maybe your background in school, or just we want to learn more about you and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so how to start that full-on question? No, I'm just joking. But I grew up in a little rural town outside of St. Louis, so the total middle of nowhere, cornfields, you know, not a lot going on type of thing. And very much the ideals were already set up for you. You go to college, you get a job that has really good insurance for your retirement fund, and then you get married at 25, and white picket fence, it's all great. So I had those ideals totally. How could you not? Like that was my family. That was all my friends' families. That seemed great to me. I loved my little small town. I used to tell people I wanted to be the mayor. Maybe I will be in the future. I'm just kidding. Why did I say that? I
won't. Yeah.
So that was my upbringing. And then from there I went to school, to college, and I started my major in PR because I thought that that would be the best way to be with in front of people, connect people. It seemed like the best way to have that ideal job that wasn't technically corporate, but I guess kind of corporate, that I could still have my personality with. So I only lasted a semester as a PR major because this was right around the time that BP had like a massive oil spill. So they kept using this in my classes of like, what would you do if you were BP representing them on this oil spill right now? And everyone, you know, I'm like, say sorry. Like, that's what I would say. I would say that I'm sorry. And obviously some people in disaster management PR, they don't do that. And that's what this class was about. So I immediately was like, went to my guidance counselor's office after that. And I was like, I have to change my major. I can't do this. Like, I'm not going to lie for a living. So my PR career was short-lived. And then he was like, I think that you would be so perfect for something called therapeutic recreation. Have you ever heard of that? And I was like,
never heard of that. Oh.
That's 95% what everyone says also. So I was like, no, I've never heard of that. But as soon as he started telling me about it, I was like, oh, absolutely. This is so perfect. So let's say a mix of like occupational therapy with just kind of more alternative healing modalities. Of course, being from the States that no one funds. So like very minimal funding for these type of programs. But you can work with people with disabilities, you can work with elderly people, just kind of teaching them about having hobbies for your well-being. Like, that's totally me. I'll teach people how to be fun and get paid for it, absolutely. So then that was born. I started my career as a recreation therapist, and it was amazing. I mean, it's like the big joke being a recreation major in college, though. Like, what do your parents think about you studying recreation? That was like always the biggest joke between all of us who are studying that. So yes, my parents paid a lot of money for me to study how to have fun. And so I have no regrets on that end, though. And then once I graduated, I had a real job for about 6 months, and they were totally dream jobs, if I'm going to be completely honest. Like, there was tons of funding within the program. I had a lot of freedom. They were very open to like young, fresh energy, you know, that like fresh out of college energy. You're like, yeah, let's do it all. They were so into that and really were excited for me to grow with them and, you know, probably like take on the programs in the future. So that's a total dream, right? For someone who like graduates from university with a random degree in recreation therapy, I quote, quote, had it all, right? I was living with six strangers from Craigslist and like absolute strangers. We all moved into a house in St. Louis. It's still the best living arrangement I've ever had in my life, but yeah. So living with six strangers in from Craigslist, working two jobs that I was super passionate about, but regardless, they were at really odd hours, like 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. and then get up and do it again from like 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and then come back at 3 p.m. Which is kind of just the reality of working in like behavioral health and that sort of a thing. So obviously I got drained super quickly, so quickly, but yet I felt guilty because I was like, yeah, but I have these really awesome jobs that I can totally grow with, and I have insurance, and I have really cool roommates. Like, I'm finally doing my thing on my own. I should love my life. Like, what's wrong with my life? Nothing's wrong with it. But I was so unhappy, and I knew it, and I always had this idea in the back of my mind from a friend that I met, and she was like, I taught English in South Korea, and it was the best thing I've ever done in my life. And she was still working in behavioral health, like I was at the time. So she was like, I went and taught, and then I came back, and I continued to work in behavioral health. So it's all good, right? Like, you can have both. You can travel for a year and then come back and like do your thing. So I was like, oh yeah, okay, well, that's totally what I want to do. But that'll be in the back of my mind. That's a plan B. How everyone always like sits on their plan Bs, but kind of never does them.
Right.
Yeah. So as time went on, working my two odd jobs, I was more and more exhausted. I was just in super bad habits. Like, I never slept. So I ate terrible food because I was exhausted. I had no energy to do anything. If I had time off, I was sleeping. If I went out and saw my friends, like, I just stayed out all night, and then I literally never got any sleep. I was in terrible habits, like the worst shape of my life, honestly. And it all kind of just flashed before my eyes. Like, it was never going to get better. Like, what was going to make it better? Like, nothing. Mm-hmm. I just needed to get out because I knew what I really wanted to do and I wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. So one night in my kitchen with my Craigslist roomie, she gave me a really good reality check. She was like, "You're so unhappy." And I was like, "Wow, no one has said that to me yet, but yeah, I am." And she was like, "What about teaching in South Korea? Like, you said you wanted to do that." And my computer was broken at the time, but she gave me her computer and poured me a glass of wine. And I found all of the jobs that I could to teach English in South Korea on Facebook, and started applying to them. Like, literally the worst resume I've ever written in my life, because I was just so excited. Like, major typos, like, terrible, right? But within like 24 hours, I had a job, and everything was like, "You're going to South Korea," which I still didn't like really resonate in my mind. And people are like, "What? You got a job on Facebook?" And I'm like, "That's besides the point. I feel very good about this. Like, yes, I got a job on Facebook," because I still wasn't into the remote work world or just working abroad world that like Facebook is very okay to do business on. Back then it was still like, Facebook. So I got my first job on Facebook and gave all my personal information away to this man in Korea that I hoped was going to pick me up at the airport when I left. Lynn, this is so long-winded. Were we good?
You can end. Yeah, you're totally good.
Okay, cool.
This is hilarious. No, I'm loving this. Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, I moved to Korea and taught English for a year, and it was awesome. Like, the best thing that I needed. I loved it. I get why people do that forever, because your lifestyle is amazing. Like, my job was pretty easy, quite honestly, besides like being in front of children all day and that being a little exhausting, but like prep wise, like I didn't have to do anything really. I just showed up, but I loved my job. Like, it was so fun. Yeah. And my lifestyle in Korea was amazing. I met the coolest people. But then from doing that, obviously you're around such a different group of people who are always talking about travel, right? They're like, "Where are you going to go next? Like, how are we going to live like this forever?"
Right.
So then I went to Korea just thinking it was 1 year, right? I was on a 1 year contract, and then I was going to go back to my career and like behavioral health. And then actually I was like, "No, I need to live like this forever. What, how am I going to do this?" So initially I thought that would be teaching abroad for long stunts and then maybe like saving up money and then having 6 months to travel. Mm-hmm. So once my first contract ended teaching in South Korea, that's what I set out to do. I had enough savings that I was like, "Okay, I'm just going to travel for a bit and wing it. I have no plan or no destination in mind, and then see where I find next that I want to teach again." But I had heard a lot of people talking about teaching English online. So I was like, "Actually, let's give that a shot first, because if I can travel and teach English online, then two worlds are the best, right?" Mm-hmm. So I moved to Bali and started teaching English online. And I very quickly learned that that wasn't what I wanted to be doing. But again, I felt very guilty saying that, because a lot of people look at teaching English online and they're like, "How could you not like that? Like, you work 3 hours a day and you make very good money to live in Asia and travel. Like, what is the problem?"
Yeah.
It's so easy. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So I felt spoiled, like, saying my true feelings that I'm really miserable, guys. And honestly, I'd rather be at a job in like the States than doing this. But no, I don't mean that, because obviously I don't want that. But
I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. So I continued teaching English online, but I noticed in Bali, I had like briefly heard about digital nomads before this, but for anyone listening who doesn't know, Bali is the digital nomad hub. Mm-hmm. So I roll up and I'm like going to coffee shops and I'm like, "Wow, all these people on their laptops working from the coffee shops next to me." Mm-hmm. And it really annoyed me at first. I was like, "Oh, I can't go anywhere without people working on their computers next to me." Like, I was that guy. My friend, I remember her being like, "Do you want to go to this pool with me?" And I'm like, "People aren't there doing that digital nomad thing, are they?" So I don't like that. And she was like, "I mean, what does it matter?" But I was just jealous because I really wanted to live like that, but I didn't know how to do it. And still back then I was like, I'm not techie enough. Like, I don't have any skills to work online. Like, I don't know how to code. I was still only thinking that, like, the only way you can work online is if you, like, know how to code.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I just spent the entire year, like, faking it till I made it, going to networking events and co-working spaces and, like, figuring out how I could work online. And then about a year into that, I heard about a course teaching women how to work online as virtual assistants. And I was like, yes, absolutely, this is it. I have to run with this. I'm so burnt out on teaching English online. I'm gonna rip my eyeballs out. I have to do this. So just a month into taking that course, I had no savings, nothing lined up, no clients yet, but I was so miserable. I just quit teaching English online. I like slammed my computer shut one day during a class and like went and made myself a glass of tea and was like, I'm good. I feel very good about this decision. I'm not ever showing back up on that platform ever again.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
That was a bold reality. Yeah, it was. But I knew I was so ready to like make a move like that. And if I continue to have a security blanket of like the income of teaching English online, then I was never going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So within quitting my job teaching English online, being like my stable income, I replaced that income within 2 weeks. Like I just really needed like a kick in the butt.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So yes, I got started as a virtual assistant. And here we are about 6 months later from me starting as a virtual assistant. And now it's a random mix of things, but mostly I'm doing PR for podcasters, which if you would have told me a year ago that this is what I would be doing, I would have been like, what?
What? Wait, that's crazy. I didn't know that you did that. Okay. Because I know virtual assistant does so many different things. That's really cool. Like you're using your couple PR classes that you took in college that probably don't even help you with this, but that's really cool.
Yeah, so it came back full circle randomly, like just through being a virtual assistant, people kept being like, actually, could you help me find speakers for my podcast? And I'm like, that is so fun. Absolutely. I will stalk people for you. You don't have to do it. Yes, absolutely. So that's how I got born. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think, I had something that I was just going to say, and I can't remember it. I hate when that happens. It was something to do with PR. Well, I was going to tell you at first, did you know I was a PR major too? I don't think we talked about that, but my major in school is PR. So that's
okay. Crazy.
And yours
was? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you take a couple of PR classes. Wow, that's insane. So you basically graduated. I'm just going to recap. So you graduated college, had like your dream position, but also were really unhappy, crazy hours, literally decided one day that you were just going to book or get a job in South Korea teaching English. Then that happened in 24 hours, went and did that, went to Bali, taught English online, and then one day decided that you were just going to do virtual assistant. And now here you are as a virtual assistant living in Thailand right now. Yes.
Yeah, on the digital nomad thing, but yes.
Wait, what?
Just traveling a bit now. Yeah, not even based anywhere anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're traveling. Okay, wow, that's an amazing story. I think my favorite part of all of that was when you were sitting in your kitchen. I mean, I had a couple of favorite parts. You're really good storytelling, really funny. But one of my favorite parts is when you were sitting in your kitchen and you just literally found that job teaching English abroad on Facebook. Did you just like book a flight the next day or how did that pan out? I'm curious.
Yeah, I just started talking with this man with very broken English via Facebook Messenger and sent him all of my personal information and like copies of my passport and did everything that he said to do because I felt it. I trusted it. I knew that it was like what I needed to be doing. And if I screwed myself over by giving this man all my personal information, that was literally a risk that I was like down to take because the alternative was so much worse.
Yeah. Wow.
So they paid for my flight. They sent me over and they were like, somebody will be at the airport with a sign with your name on it. Like barely any communication, honestly. it was just like my little faith of like, I know this is right. Like, I'm making the jump.
It's just like, you know, that you know that you know that like this is what you should be doing. And like, same that happened with you when you were teaching English and you're like, I just know that I can't do this anymore. I just feel like it's those small moments that like make the biggest difference.
Totally.
Everything, you know?
Yeah. And they're so scary and so hard. And like, no wonder people don't do it. I get it, because it's so hard. Like, so hard.
Yeah.
Listening to stuff like that. Oh.
And especially when you say it back to people, like, that don't have, like, they don't know what you were feeling. They don't know what emotions you had. They don't know, like, what the situation was like. But when you're trying to explain it, it's almost worse because you're like, wow, I really do sound crazy. But you're like, it's just some things that you literally know in your gut. And like, you're just like, you can't explain it. But yeah, I totally know what you mean. But I think it's amazing, everything that you did. And it got you to where you are today. So I guess we'll just start with like the Kickstarter of when you officially like started working online or whatever, teaching English online. How did you kind of come across that, like the whole digital nomad scene? I know you moved to Bali. And that's when you said you started doing the whole like digital nomad thing, which I almost like, I hate using the term digital nomad because it's so overused, but I don't know how else to explain it.
I so do also. Yeah. I hate that.
It's like, I wish there was like another way that I could talk about it without saying that, but it's the easiest thing. Okay. So when you moved to Bali, had you already started teaching English online yet? Or what was kind of the process like for you of like getting into that?
Yeah, so I had been sending out applications and that sort of a thing, but sometimes getting started with teaching English online can be like so lengthy, like there's so many demo classes, or it was such a long process that I didn't officially have a job, but I had like leads in the fire per se to get that going.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then when you were over there, like about how long did it take you to start doing that? Just like kind of a timeline a little bit for how long it took you to like make that an income.
I would say that it started within the first month, but by that point, although I still had what I felt like then was a comfortable amount of savings, I was like really anxious about it, because it was probably the lowest number that it's been in a long time. And I was abroad and like, it just stressed me out. So yeah. So I was working ridiculous hours teaching English online. I was living in a bamboo tree house for one. So like, it was just the most entertaining place to be teaching English online, on a Balinese family compound. And so all the children got like free English lessons and all the roosters and stuff. They were like, teacher, you live on a farm. And I'm like, well, not quite, but.
But they're close. I'll give you a tour one day if you want to see.
Yeah, exactly. Here's my treehouse. Yeah, so it all got going within about a month, but I would spend Saturdays and Sundays working from 8 a.m. until, what time does it stop? Like 9 p.m. Like I worked the whole day, with like two minimal breaks that were like an hour. Oh God. No wonder I got so burnt out so quickly.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my, that just sounds, for those of you who don't know, I mean, I've talked about it on the podcast before, but we were talking about this before Natalie and I were, but we both got our, you know, digital nomad again, start with teaching English online. Cause that's actually the first thing that I did too. And so just like knowing what I know about that and hearing you say that those, that you taught that much, that literally like gives me anxiety. That gives me a pounding headache.
Yes, me too. Yeah, I didn't have a desk. I was like sitting on the floor cross-legged, like using my mosquito net as my background. Like it was so entertaining. Yeah.
Wait, just curious. Were you in Canggu or were you in Ubud?
I was in Ubud. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. All right. So I just wanted to cover that really quickly just to give people an idea. Like, I guess my thoughts on that are it's a great Kickstarter. Like I've recommended it to some people. Like if you're in a position where you're just kind of like, I want this to happen now. Like I was that way when I first started out and you were, I would say similar, like you really needed something. And I tell people like, it's a great Kickstarter. But like long-term it's, yeah, I just wouldn't, it's not sustainable long-term, I don't think. So
I agree.
Yeah. So I just wanted to cover that to give people an idea. That's always something that you can start out with. And it is, you know, relatively easy to get into. There's a lot of resources online and stuff. Okay, so now I want to move into your virtual assistants because that's more exciting. And you're the first virtual assistant I've had on the show. So I feel like a lot of people probably, maybe they are familiar with it, but I had never really heard of being a virtual assistant until I was involved in the whole remote work culture. So can you kind of give us an idea of what exactly a virtual assistant is, why it's needed, you know, what you do day to day, and give us a day in the life of what it's like.
Yeah. So that's also super funny. And I agree with you because a year ago, I'm sure that I did not know what a virtual assistant was either. So it's just so funny to put it into perspective like that. So a virtual assistant can mean a lot of things, and different for everybody, but let's say someone like an online business owner or online entrepreneur, they just need someone that they can delegate stuff out to, kind of like you would do if you worked in an office and you had like a secretary, like, hey, make sure these emails get sent out, make sure, you know, you make a flyer about our new whatever. So it's a lot of like similar stuff to that, and it depends on who you're working with, like the kind of things that they would ask you to do. So for some examples could be like social media management, like, okay, make sure all of my content gets published like on Instagram and Facebook the whole month, just schedule it all out. Or maybe they have you writing blog posts for them, creating graphics that they can post on social media, or really just admin tasks. Like I said, like you would do in a secretarial role, like managing their email inbox or, wow, there's so much. What else could you be doing? Yeah. Anything. Anything.
Yeah, any task related thing, I feel like any like administrative almost thing, I feel like can be delegated to a virtual assistant, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. It's so broad. Yeah. Or even like somebody, I'm still doing a bit of this, but like, hey, I have a really big Facebook group. Can I pay you to interact with everyone in my Facebook group? 100%. Yes, I'll talk to people on Facebook for you.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's like a community manager or something. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. So good for like extroverts like us, right?
Yes. Totally. Especially when you work online.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. Okay, cool. So you're not contracted with a company, right? You do all of your virtual assistant under your own brand, I guess, or your own, do you have an LLC or an org, or how did you set that up?
No, I'm calling myself a freelancer still at this stage.
Okay. I was just wondering, so how do you get most of your clients then?
Yeah, so most of it has been referral based, honestly, from the course that I took. I remember feeling like I was gonna quit my job teaching English online, so I was like, okay, please help me get an internship. I know it might be unpaid. I don't even care at this point. Like, I'm going to roll on the faith that it will turn into paid work. Please. Yeah. I'm interested in PR. Like, is there anybody you think in your network that needs help with PR? And the woman, the mentor of the course, Esther, she was like, yeah, okay, sure. Here are two people. And they turned into paid clients and are still really fantastic clients that I do random stuff for. And from them, they referred me to people in their network. I have used Facebook to get a few gigs as well. I feel like now it's a bit oversaturated, but if you know how to kind of stand out, then it's easier.
Yeah.
But of course, like a job posting in a Facebook group can get like so many replies in like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's funny that you say that, because like I get a lot of questions about people asking me how to start out when they want to work remotely, and I am big on Facebook groups. I still am, and I still always recommend Facebook groups. I think I've gotten more savvy at finding opportunities, I guess, because you're right, Facebook groups are very saturated, and because there's so many people who want to work remotely, so I still totally recommend them, like you said. They can still be really great when you know how to like stand out or do it correctly, but yeah, they're definitely, there's a lot of people in there too, so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I also just think once you get more comfortable, like this would be an intimidating thing if someone told me this when I was just starting out, but now that I'm more comfortable, and this is only like 6 months in, I have realized what it takes to like have clients find you, like make sure your social media is open to people know what you do so that they can find you. So now I'm more open to like cold pitching and like, mm-hmm. I know who my ideal client is. So I'm not afraid to approach them either and be like, hey, this is what I do. But I would have been really intimidated by that if someone told me that like 6 months ago when I was just starting out.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome though. See, like it's really hasn't been that long and you already feel a lot more comfortable with it. And it's speaking to that ideal client is easier. Can I just ask how many clients you typically work with in a month, just kind of like to give people a numbers idea?
Yeah, so that kind of varies because, well, of course, I would prefer to have like just a few clients who I work with on a long-term basis that mm-hmm. makes my salary, but honestly, I'm still at a point where it doesn't work like that. So mm-hmm. I do tend to have a lot of clients that I do random project-based stuff for. Mm-hmm. So I kind of gauge it less on like the number of clients that I have as far as like, how am I going to reach like the salary amount that I need to reach this month? Mm-hmm. So like, do I need to take on another project so that I can get that done? Like that's kind of more so how I base it. But at the most, like, let's be honest, you can't handle like 20 clients that you're just doing random stuff for. Mm-hmm. So I think I've capped it at for sure, no more than 10, no more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really not that bad. Like when you put it, yeah. I mean, it can get like, I'm sure it can get crazy, but I mean, yeah, I guess it just depends, but that's not an overwhelming number.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So let's say someone is interested in becoming a virtual assistant, if they've never heard of it, and they're like, oh, wow, that sounds interesting. I want to explore that. Do you need any type of certification or college degree or background or anything like that? Like, what was it like for you to actually start this?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. If you're listening to this and you're a millennial, you already grew up with all the skills you need because thankfully you know how to use the internet, you know, like we know how to use social media. We know not to make a terrible Facebook profile picture. So we're kind of already blessed with that. We know how to send emails. Yeah. And then really from there, it's just like getting comfortable. Like you can learn all the skills per se that you don't know, but you have so many skills already that you don't know. Like anybody can do it, honestly, if you're motivated enough to do it. So no certifications, but I will say that doing it on your own without a mentor is hard because like, how do you market yourself? Like, how do you package what you do? What do you do? If I wouldn't have had someone teaching me those type of skills, then I probably still wouldn't be doing it because it is a whole new world. Like, how are you supposed to know? You're not supposed to know. Like, it is something you have to learn how to do. And like, if you actually really want to do it, then it's probably faster to like have someone helping you do it.
Yeah.
Than trying to figure it out on your own.
No, totally. I totally agree. And I feel like I talk about this all the time in the episodes and I'm like, I'm just such a huge advocate of finding a mentor or finding someone who's doing something that you want to do and like just pay them. Or if you don't have the money, ask any advice that they have, because if they're where you want to be, then I think it's always worth it to just pay for their, if they offer a mentorship or a course or anything like that, because you're going to shortcut your time so much and you're going to get such faster results. So I know you took a course from a girl that you saw online. So maybe I'll link her course in the show notes in case anyone else is interested. And Natalie's an affiliate for it, but she went through it. So you guys can ask her like any questions or anything like that if you're curious to do it too. Cool. Okay. So I'm just curious, what are your plans for this then? Do you want to continue growing your virtual assistant freelance work, or like, do you kind of, you don't have to say if you have like a 1 year plan or a 2 year plan, but I'm just kind of curious like where you see this going.
Yeah. No, it is a fun question because I have no idea. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's so fun about it is that you can make it whatever you want. Like maybe even what I'm doing now in a year from now, I'm going to be like, I hate that. And that's so fine. That's, mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want in this capacity. So there's always room to grow and new things to learn. And even just taking on clients randomly, you could be like, I actually really don't like that. So I'm going to move in a new direction. Mm-hmm. But as far as my 1 year plan, no, I don't technically have one because I really like to kind of figure things out as they come and see how my interests fall out.
Yeah. No, I love that. I like what you said, how you said like, I don't even know if I want to be doing that in a year. And I think that's totally fine that Like, you're allowed to change and you're allowed to grow. And if you don't like something, then you can stop it and do something else. And I think that's something that I personally learned when I lived overseas, was being surrounded by all these people who are doing all these amazing, incredible, different things. I learned that's like, there's not only one thing that you have to do and stick with for the rest of your life. Like, you, especially if you're a multi-potentialite or someone who has a lot of interests, like, it's okay to change. And I think that maybe people are scared to take the first step because they're scared that they have to be, or once they choose something, then they have to be, you know, committed to it for forever. But I think it's really cool, like, just to understand that that doesn't have to be the case. And if you have multiple interests, then just choose something right now, run with it for a year or two. And then if your interests change, then that's totally fine. Or if you don't like it, then you can just change, you know.
You should have a whole podcast on that, honestly, because people need to hear that.
Yeah, no, totally. I think that's, that, like I said, that was like the biggest, one of the biggest things I learned. I was like, wow, there's like really no right way to do anything. Like,
anything, exactly. Yeah, no, I hear that.
If someone is, just like to go with a couple more like practical tips, if someone is, let's say, still living in the States, and I don't know why, because most of the people listening to this are in the States, that's why I say that. But if someone maybe has just graduated college, is around our age, like in their early 20s, and they want to work and travel, or they want like the remote work lifestyle, what are some of the top things that you would tell them for advice?
Yeah, I would tell them, hang out in Facebook groups, because honestly, I think it's a really good place even just to like get research or like learn about possibilities, see what options are even out there. I think before I was hanging out in Facebook groups, even just long time lurking in like digital nomad type groups, mm-hmm. I didn't even know what you could do. That's how I found out about being a virtual assistant. So really just exploring your options, I would say, is a really good start. And then once you get some ideas, as we talked about earlier, get a mentor. Like, if it's really, really what you want to be doing, shortcut it, get a mentor. Like, it's so worth it. Yeah, shortcut it. Just, yes. It's really what you should do.
Bite the bullet and just put it on a credit card and pay it back if you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah, definitely get a mentor. Other actual steps, just try. Like, try, figure out what you're interested in. Like, you know, start writing. Do you like writing? Do you not like writing? Okay. Do you like doing social media? Just try to really explore and like figure out what you're interested in. And that sort of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's perfect. That's exactly what I would say. Facebook groups, try different avenues, find mentors, and just go out and do different things. Find what you don't like, because it might seem like it'll take a while to find something that you can actually see yourself doing, but it is out there, so just keep looking. So switching gears a little bit, I'm sure you've heard this question before. I ask all my guests what freedom means to them, because it's just such a cool, I just love asking this question. I say that every episode. I'm like, it's my favorite question. I just love hearing what people say. There's no right or wrong answer, but I'd love to hear what freedom means to you now, and maybe if it's changed at all since you had this lifestyle.
Yeah. So freedom to me is just doing whatever I want, like going where I want, when I want to go there, like scheduling my days as I want to schedule them. If I want to prioritize reading a book over like jumping on my computer, then I can probably do that. Or making just, yeah, being able to prioritize what I want to prioritize because I want to. So that is a big thing for freedom of me, and kind of just no one telling me what to do. Like, I want to do whatever I want to do, and I'm going to do it. So sorry, don't sway me. Like, So that is a big one. I do think though that my vision of freedom has changed over time, because it's always been like a soul word. So that's why I'm like so excited to even be on this podcast to help people talk about freedom. But it's totally changed, because now how I look at freedom and the possibilities and like how much freedom you can have, I would have never had the capacity to think like this, like when I was graduating college per se. Like, my definition of freedom then was just like, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. And now I'm like, I can do anything I want to do. Like, Yeah. So it's definitely shifted. And kind of in more of like a, if anyone's like spiritual or woo-woo, like manifestation, like anything you want, you can literally create. Mm-hmm. Like there is no perfect job for you. Just create it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. No, I think that it's, that's something that I really learned again when I was living in Bali, and you're around all these people who are like, you think that you're a dreamer because you want to move overseas, or like you think that you have, you know, big goals because you want to work and travel, but then you get that and then it's like, okay, check that off the list. And then it's like this whole world, it's like the lid just opens up and you're like, you can have anything you want. You can be any person you want. You can do anything you want. And it's like, when you start looking at it that way, it's just, it's crazy. Like you can never go back to thinking the way that you thought before. I think that's like, once your mind sees things a certain way, like you can't unknow what you know. So yeah, it's just being able to dream so much bigger. I totally agree. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, this has gone like longer than most, but this has just been so, it's been so fun talking. If there was one thing that you wish other people our age would just get or understand, what would it be?
I think we covered this a bit, but it would be that things change and that's okay to like grow in as many different directions as you want to. You don't have to do something for your entire life. It can change seasonally. It can change daily. You can structure your life however you want to structure it. There is no black and white mold, no roadmap. Like you make the roadmap. And I think if people got that, like everyone knows the secret, right? Like what would life look like if everyone was truly living however they wanted to live? Mm-hmm. I think that's a thing people don't get, but on the same side, they might get it, but it's scary. It's really scary. So what I would say about that also is like, know that everyone felt that or feels that. I still feel that. I have to give myself pep talks every day, like, and feel like an imposter or a loser. Or like, why would anyone want to buy from me? Like, I'm a terrible employee. They would never hire me. I have to give myself a pep talk every day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other really successful entrepreneurs, like, it's a very normal thing. So, but it's so worth it. Like, no wonder not everyone chases the freedom and, like, really goes for whatever they want, because it is a full-time job just managing your mindset and, like, being your own hype man, telling yourself, I can do this. Like, yes, yes, I can. That is a full-time job. 100%.
Yeah. Oh, so, I totally agree.
Yeah. I just want to like normalize that everyone feels like this, and you have to do it anyways. Like it's, everyone does this because it's so worth it. What's on the other side. So worth it.
Like what you said, the most successful entrepreneurs are someone who you see on Instagram who looks like they're living the dream, they feel the exact same things that you do. And it really doesn't go away. Like it doesn't. So
I have chills. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, please, let's everyone talk about this so that it's normalized.
Yeah, totally. It's normal. And you guys, it's just part of the process. And it's something that it doesn't lessen. You just get better at knowing that it's coming and knowing how to manage it in your mind. I really think that's the only thing. Like, it's just, you expect it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, oh, I'm so glad you said that. All right. Well, thank you so much. This has seriously been so fun. And this time has just flown by. So I'm seriously so glad that we met and that you came on and you shared so much good stuff. So I think a lot of people are really going to like this episode. So just last thing, if someone is listening to you and they want to ask you more questions specifically, maybe about virtual assistant, moving overseas, teaching English abroad, or I don't know, anything, what is the best way that they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on Facebook. If you want to seek me out there, I'm Natalie Lane. I'll link my website as well, virtuallynatalie.com. Feel free to hang out with me there. You can hang out with me on Instagram as well, virtually.natalie. I'm a bit of a poster and ghoster, but I promise to be better this year. I'm promising.
Yes, New Year's resolution. I'm glad we met and got to connect and talk more. And I know I just have this feeling that we're gonna like meet up in the future in a random place. So
yeah, the feeling is so mutual. And thank you so much for having me, because really this was actually so fun.
Oh good, I'm so glad. All right, well I'll talk to you soon.